I heard somebody once say, you know, when I die, I want to be high-fived with the angels. So I just wanted to share that because that was powerful when I heard that.
Oh, yeah. I want to, when I, whatever age that is for me physically, I want to be like, man, I played and I played hard. Like, okay, I'm ready for a rest. Take me now. But I sure, you know, because I lived a different life too, where it was just the same old junk all the time and I didn't face my fears. Yeah.
There's a little metaphor happening on the table in front of you is that tall
She's
bud.
She's opening up.
That tall bud was a tight when I put it down. And it actually opened during the tap.
And I pointed and said, look, she's going to open tomorrow, but she's not waiting. Welcome.
Oh, wow.
She faced her fear and opened up.
She did. She did. And there's a beautiful quote.
I like that.
There is a beautiful quote about that, that the flower finally opens when it becomes too uncomfortable staying inside the bud. Mm-hmm. Right? But here's the thing. You guys were crazy enough. I don't know what you were thinking, to come do things like tapping and all the other things you've played in and all the books you've read and all the energy work you've explored and all the thoughts you've had, that's where we're coming. A Thrive Consciousness is you are powerfully in choice all day long. You're in choice over what you think. That's the hardest piece. You're in choice what you speak. You're in choice how you show up. You're in choice what you're creating. You're in choice what you're contributing. And you're in choice what you're receiving. And it's truly a choice, which if you would have told me that 20 years ago, I probably flipped you off, right? But you start evolving and you start realizing it is a choice. Even what you receive, like the man with the car that he won and then he made it so he had payments, you know, now he can tell the story like, yeah, I couldn't feel okay with a free car. It was more his comfort zone to be paying and probably complaining about it. And so that's where you have choice too in what you receive. Do you actively practice receiving well? That one was really hard for me. I'm still probably not as good at it as I'm going to be. Yes.
So quick question. So was he at a certain frequency when he attracted the car?
Mm-hmm.
And then he went back to his old frequency. So we can sort of be going back and forth.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And it's not true, but the human mind thinks this way. You know, your thought frequency, that's not even yours. Like, you can't tell me what you're going to think next. You can't tell me what you're going to wake up thinking tomorrow, right? I mean, you're tuned into all kinds of junk. And so you always have a choice in every moment what your frequency is. So even when you're in the lower frequency of grief, as you evolve on this path, when you practice choice in so many things when it's easier, you're still going to have choice even in something as low. Grief's a very low frequency. You know it. It feels like 50 pounds sitting on your chest, right? It's hard to move. It's hard to get up. Grief is one of the heaviest frequencies there is. Even in that, you could have choice over what you think. Like, this feels really awful. I know I won't feel this way forever. Is that making sense to you? There's a choice there. But unless you're practicing every day, you don't have that kind of stamina or strength to choose like that. So Anuj will have to choose a lot, because normal speak in that community is how hard you work. And for him to never speak that again, he's going to keep thinking, people are going to think, you know, his brain's going to give him all kinds of crazy stories. And he'll have to say, it doesn't matter, I'm choosing this. I mean, it's not like you get one tap, you make up your mind, you're done. Yeah, you got to face it. And Shanaz is making a great decision. She's picking her own spiritual boot camp, and it is going to trigger a lot of things for her. But she's going to be in choice, and she's going to face all those things knowing, hey, I chose this. And I can change my mind, but I'm not going to do it till I have what I want. Right? So you see how that's different than the way we used to live? I mean, I used to say it, that it always felt like life was living me. Not like I was the one choosing. Make sense? Okay. So yes, there's always some level of choice, and you guys are awake enough to know it. So you want to really start playing in that arena.
She's big. I just want to say something, because this is very true. Because I went to Helen, I guess a couple of years ago,
My job was making me crazy. I was losing my hair. I was losing my mind. And I had this very long story to tell Helen. And then, of course, she put me in my place. And basically, she said, you know, then get out or else change the way you think about it. And I have a great job now. It's the same job.
And then that applies to what you're talking about, whether it's 60 hours or 30 hours.
It changed. I mean, like the first thing that happened, because I thought, oh yeah, yeah, right. But I started doing it. The first thing that happened was my boss called me during the summer, because I'm a teacher, and he said, you know, we've just employed two extra people, so how would you like not to have to appraise 25 teachers? I was like, yay. And so like, where did that come from? I don't care where it came from, but it came. And so it really, really changed.
Okay, whoops, sorry, I got to call you out.
Sorry, what?
That came because I chose it.
Oh, yes, that came because I chose it, yeah.
Didn't even know I was doing it, but I like how I did it. Right? And this is tricky work, guys, because depending on what your religious background is, and just in our society, there's this fine line of what you own without getting separate from the Creator. But there is a partnership that can be established there. Hey, I'm choosing this and I'm showing up. Thank you for making this opportunity possible. Partnership, right? We're not puppets on strings. We do co-create and we get to ask. And actually, I love the way you began with, it's something I've been asking for and now I'm not sure. See, you know how you created that in your work? There you go.
Well, there is an old expression, be careful what you ask for.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in therapy it manifests itself. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's the old, you know, scarcity thinking. Instead, be grateful for everything you ask because you'll reap something from it and then you'll choose something else. You know, that's the belief you get stuck in something. And it used to be true. But none of us in this time, none of us who could be here, we're not really stuck. We're not going to be homeless. We're not going to go hungry. We're not stuck in the way that a lot of other countries or a lot of other people are stuck. We have more choices. That it's incredible the choices we have today. It's amazing. But we don't know how to think that we're not stuck yet. That's the tricky part. So one client I was working with, I can't remember where this was too, I guess it was in my office, and so she looks at me and priceless, she goes, oh, I see what you mean, so I need to work smarter, not harder. That was Carrie.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah! Isn't that brilliant? That was really good. Smarter, not harder. And most of the hard you'll find is just some old stories you're running. Hmm. You know, you can't really work that hard unless you're like pouring streets in Houston. There's only so much you can do in any one given moment. So it's only story whether that's hard or not. Okay, so, yes.
So Helen, if we want to get out of our story that we're stuck in, we have to imagine a whole new story of whatever that is.
That would be a really good way, but sometimes you can't even do that until you just shut up. Basically, you just gotta and not talk for a while. And that pattern interrupt will drive your mind crazy. And it will finally give in to you, like, okay, she's not letting me tell this story, then I gotta pick something else. But a lot of times, it's just that difficult. You have to just not talk for a while for a pattern interrupt. Because you'll find, if you're trying to tell a different story, you'll do good, like, you know, 3 minutes, and then you'll throw in some old. And then you'll think you're telling a really rocking story until you say it to somebody like me, and I'll be like, really? And I'll point out all the things you said. So a lot of times, it's better to just quit talking. And the mind, it'll just go crazy until it comes up with a better story. Because if you won't give it free run, it's got to agree with you at some point.
So your mind will make up a new story.
Yep, it will, because that's your intention by not speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, like yelling at the kids. Boy, I thought that was going to be a really impossible one to break. And I was raised by the only parents, everybody else we knew yelled, raised their voice. And I never yelled anything mean, but I definitely raised my voice. And so when I decided not to do that, I had no idea how to not do that. So I just shut up. And sometimes it looked like, and I'd leave the room. And I'd figure out, well, if you're not yelling, what the heck would you do? And I didn't have the answer right away, but I quit yelling. And then the other skill sets started coming through. But I had to have a big pattern interrupt.
And then did your children, they recognize the fact that you weren't yelling, so they changed
No, they acted
behavior?
Worse because they missed the yelling. Yeah, when you change, all the people around you don't like it. And especially children. So they would act worse because it was unfamiliar behavior to them. Mm-hmm. And so I'd be like, guys, I know you want me to yell, but if I start, I might not be able to stop. Mm-hmm. And so it was an adjustment period. That's why sometimes not talking is easier.
But not talking also gives perceptions to other people.
Not your business.
Not their business or not my business.
It's not your business. And talking, you don't know what they're thinking either. That's just a story in your mind that you know how they perceive you.
Right.
Guys, when you leave here, you'll all have a different perception of tonight. Mm-hmm. People misquote me all the time. People remember different things. And I remember different things. Even my own stuff, I remember differently.
When we leave right? here, we already have a different perception.
Yeah. I mean, if you were telling it or thinking it. Yeah. Right? It's you don't have control over that.
So Helen, this is still new for me. So, and probably more people do. So are people tapping during the week? I mean, when I come here, this is the only time that I do it, you know. So if I were trying to do a pattern interrupt, is it possible just thinking the pattern interrupt, or are you suggesting you also tap?
Well, tapping really helps. Even though we use it here to up-level a lot, tapping is really a good way to clear space so that you can change, so that you can do a pattern interrupt. And so what that would look like in response to your particular question is, let me use Anuj because he shared a paragraph, something that we can all relate to, I think. So Anuj could be, you know, hanging around with people or people saying, hey, I don't want you to... I know you're busy, but could you fit this in? And he could have running through his mind all the old story. Like, what a jerk. I wish they wouldn't ask me. How do I answer this and not whine or sound overwhelmed? I don't even have a good answer. And he could build up some icky feeling because he doesn't know yet. He doesn't know how to be this next version of him. So then he might want to tap, even though I want to bite this guy's head off. Yeah. Right? He might tap after to let all that energy move. Okay, so my kids acted worse when I quit yelling because they were trying to get a familiar pattern going. And, you know, I didn't want to give it to them. It's very difficult to change. That's why most people don't do it. So that was energy that had to be dissipated somehow. Mm-hmm. They're looking for the energy fix. So tapping is really good that way. If you feel bad, tapping. Yes.
Best. Analogy I've ever heard is when I started going to PDAP years ago with my son, got to the whole drug scene. There was a counselor there that said, we're all like a piece of a puzzle. And when we change the shape of our piece, we don't fit. We don't fit with them, they don't fit with us, everybody knows it.
That's it.
And we can go back to the old shape and go back to the old stuff, or we can keep doing our own thing and see if people morph around us and come along.
And here's the cool thing. If you change your puzzle piece, your identity, your dominant resonance to one of great happiness and clarity, oh, people would love to fit you. Because they want something.
They would love to do what?
Fit you.
Fit you? Oh.
They may not have the stamina for all the time, but when they're around you, they'll resonate there. Because we all love that. We're all attracted to people who are happy. All of us. And people are always innately attracted to people of clarity and courage. And so if that's your dominant way of being with yourself, people will desire to fit with you. And that's how we spread change. That's how people want to do better. You only started this journey because you were exposed to somebody who you perceived that way, and you thought, oh, I want some of that.